Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Mates, welcome, chaps, lads, bruvs, LWO members from London. What's cookie good looking? It is your SmackDown review show for June 30th, the last day of June. Last day of the month is just like a good day to make sure that your Patreon subscription is up to date. I'm just going to mention that for no particular reason at all.
It's a good date to make sure that your internet bill is paid.
How was your live experience?
What is happening? June 1st is a fantastic day to reset your router. July 1st is a great day to make sure that Metronet or Spectrum or AT&T is paid, Kate. Any number of those things.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you have the worst internet I have ever seen. I am on a hotel internet.
I have one
internet.
Provider and they suck, okay?
I have better internet at a hotel in London at 3 a.m. Somebody says, isn't it 3 a.m. in London? That's dedication. Yes, it is 3 a.m. in London.
Sean was doing a live show from the airplane, 30,000 feet in the air.
Yeah, but I'm here. I was at the SmackDown show in London. It was a lot of fun. I honestly feel like being at that SmackDown a couple weeks ago in Lexington sort of briefly reinvigorated my love for live wrestling because I had a good time there. I am a little bit under the weather, as you guys can tell, but we're going to talk about a little bit about the show. It was fun. LA Knight supremely over this guy. I spoke to him briefly today, that interview, which we only got 2 or 3 minute interviews during these junkets, which is a bummer, but you guys know that that's good enough for me to get some good scoops. And I talked to Bailey. I talked to Pretty Deadly. That was a lot of fun. Shayna Baszler, asked her about the bite, asked Bailey about WrestleMania being left off of that. We got some good, interesting answers there. A Vince impersonation out of Shayna Baszler. So those will be dropping over the next few weeks. But there were some things that went down, some things that a lot of people have questions about. A lot of people asking about Owens. As best I know, he was selling. Every time in the past I have asked, is Kevin Owens okay? I'm told he's just good at his job every single time. Today, specifically, Kit Wilson and Elton Prince were working over the leg and selling the fact that they had the ability to work over the leg as well. So I am of the belief that it was a work, but that remains to be seen. I'll get that verified, all that. But some Fightful Select news, by the way, doing a text-based Q&A over there right now. So subscribe, get that in. This weekend, we're going to have news on Ace Steele coming back to AEW, what he's allowed to do. There's going to be a Beach Blast 92 retro review and news on a talent that's technically under WWE contract, which is nice. We've got a whole bunch of AEW contract news over the past week, including we revealed that Harley Cameron is under a full-time deal, but lots of stuff over there. Just so much that we can't even plug. It's just too much. It's too much for me to do at 3 a.m., but things that I found interesting. Fightful Select did report Shotzi was in town this week. Obviously, there was a reason for that. She had a pretty significant angle regarding that. That was shocking to me that they went and did that angle after Vince nixed that whole match a couple weeks ago, but I'm glad they did. KE775 gets his super chats in and says, "Hey, Sean, PW Insider is reporting there's a pitch for Charlotte to replace Zelina and Money in the Bank. Have you heard that?" I'm sure there's a pitch for Charlotte Flair to win every women's championship ever. I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't doubt that there's a pitch for that. There are so many times when people will hear things that are pitched and it'll make their way to me and people will be like, "Well, I haven't heard about that." Well, yeah, it was a pitch. Until it's a thing, it's probably not going to get to the talent itself. But I could absolutely see that. I know that a lot of what Zelina's doing wasn't originally in the cards, and her performance and reaction sort of forced their hands of that. And speaking about forcing hands, Zoe Stark impressing officials so much that she was pulled from media to put her on the live events this week as well. She was supposed to do that. Hit Row, Piper Niven, all in town as well, but they're not being used. Omos in town as well. So there's a lot of names that are being brought in to do media and to do appearances, and just because they want to be, even though they're not necessarily on these shows. I talked to LA Knight today about the long-standing rumor that started last year with some less than reputable people that are like, "Oh, well, he's the favorite to win Money in the Bank." And he was like, "That was conjecture. It didn't mean anything. It was speculations, hopes, all that." But even like he kind of agreed. He's like, maybe they heard it. Maybe they liked it. Maybe they liked the reaction to it, which I think is pretty cool. But that reaction to him was unreal. Him and Sami Zayn specifically, just unreal reactions.
Very, very cool. One of my favorite parts of these shows is exactly that, like these hometown pops that you get. We heard Butch get a really nice pop in this as well.
Yep.
What was the kind of net of the live experience? Watching it at home, it felt go-homey for sure. But a decent enough episode. But the crowd was phenomenal.
So as I decided if I was going to this show, it's been a wild week. If you've subscribed to Select, you saw that I haven't stopped working while we've been doing this. And I was like, okay, what's on this show? It's like, oh, Roman's on the show. There's a tag title match on the show. There's a women's title match on the show. It's like, damn, this is a big show. This is a big SmackDown.
It's Paul White. It is a big show.
Yeah. And then,
wow,
the finish didn't quite happen the way it was supposed to. Did both Bianca KODs make it onto TV?
Yes, but neither of them broke the table or looked good.
So it was so funny to watch it because she was trying to appease the fans. That's what she wanted.
That was very obvious. The second one felt like it was fan driven.
Like, who knew if they were even supposed to go onto the table? Because those tables didn't break. But poor Charlotte is so tall that she can't, like, it's hard for her to take the move in general. But on a table, she had a handstand to get herself over.
Oh, my God.
It was so wild from that spot. But I just want to say this. I've covered Charlotte Flair's career for like the last 8 or 9 years. I've never seen her in better shape than what she's in right now. She looks incredible. She looks like such a star. Her gear looked great in person too. Bianca looked really, really awesome in person. Like, she had a new edge to her. Asuka in person, like, putting that act together has been really, really great as well. I don't know what was up with that Austin Theory Ridge match.
That was like, real weird.
A front drop kick won the match, which, okay, sometimes you got to win with one of those so you convince people that it'll work. But
was it a rolling one too? Because that's even weirder in some ways. Like, that slows you down. That was very, very odd.
And then Austin Theory lost to Ray in a non-title match as a dark match as well.
Oh.
So it was very confusing in the arena because we got the hype package for Karrion Kross and AJ Styles, right? And it's like, next week. Then they did the match tonight, like, for the live crowd. So, like, there, a lot of us didn't know what the show was going off the air with. We didn't know if it was going off the air with the Usos thing or this Karrion Kross AJ Styles match, which AJ Styles won. Despite Mia Yim being ringside, he did win that match.
Did you get flicked off today or no?
No, I did see her though in the lobby. She didn't get asked to do media day because she's not that famous, but
I thought it was to protect you guys. I thought she could kick your ass. So between her and Shaza.
Listen, I just want to say this. Spencer Love, once my good friend, went back on his promise to not book Shaza McKenzie. How'd that travel to that show go for Shaza McKenzie this week? She sat at an airport for 16 hours.
Yeah, you had nothing to do with that at all, I'm sure.
As a wise man who has never said anything stupid ever once said, you get what you put in and people get what they deserve. And that is from Only God Knows Why by Kid Rock.
Never said anything stupid. She was also on Nick Hausman's show, which I think is she's making the rounds. I think she's coming back for you, man.
I don't know why Nick would stoop that low, but I like Nick anyway. He's over here in London as well. I filmed at Wrestle Talk. I had a little news bit on FightfulSelect.com about that. Did a few things there, but I'm going to give you guys a little news and notes on Fightful Select, what we've had over there. Make sure you guys subscribe. I had more on Bryan Danielson's injury, his work on creative in WWE, some Logan Paul pitches, news on WWE travel. We broke the news that StarCast is coming back. Man, I'm looking forward to that. AEW talent Harley Cameron confirmed under a full-time deal. More news on Ciampa and Rollins, Scorpio Sky, Nicole Matthews. We had the change to Jack Perry's presentation, which ended up being the song as well. We were the first outlet to speak to Fuego del Sol after his AEW deal was announced as coming up. More on how WWE has tried to fence-proof storylines and match bookings. We have PCO news, some news on Braun Breaker, Rick Steiner. We made that a free post due to the nature of it, but WWE, how ecstatic they have been about Judgment Day's performance. We had news on Ospreay, Omega, their condition after their big match as well. Dakota and EO talking about returns and how they made that work. All that just this week, in addition to so much more on FightfulSelect.com. And we're going to have even more. I'm working on getting comfortable enough to bring those rundowns back. So for those of you asking, those will be back sooner than later. I just haven't felt comfortable with some of the, let's be real, the Vince changes have put a big wrench into those. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. But one thing I wanted to talk about, Darren Drozdov, rest in peace. I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but Droz was legitimately one of my favorite wrestlers at the time. My cousin had got back into wrestling around that time, and he just loved the way that Droz looked. And I was a big Road Warriors guy, and I loved Droz. I loved him. LOD Puke, they were calling him for a little while. I thought he fit it. I thought he looked great. I thought he had a good move set, his big jumping back elbow. He could hit a sit-down powerbomb on 300-pound-plus guys. He had an NFL background. I thought, like, he was missing some of the charisma department, but I liked what he did and what he brought there, and it's a shame that what happened to him happened to him, and it was a freak accident. It was very unfortunate. D'Lo Brown has lived with that for a long time, and I saw some people tweeting some aberrant stuff to him. He's actually over here in the UK, and I'm glad that he was around good people and fans today. That made me very happy considering the nature of this happening. But Draw has gone way, way too soon. I think in a different world, he and Albert could have made a really, really fun tag team as well, but they never really got off the ground, unfortunately. And that sucks.
Did you mention the whole LOD 2000 thing as well? Was he in there?
Yeah, right? Yeah. LOD 2000. He was in there. I loved that.
Yes.
Like, still him pushing Hawk off that Titan Tron was insane. Yes. I can't believe that spot. Like, we'd never seen anything like that before.
Puke.
It's great. I love that. And I mean, the Beyond the Mat spot is historic.
Yeah.
He's got a puke. He's got a puke. Anytime one of my friends is doing that in the gym, I do that to them. Like, you have to.
Yeah.
Man.
That's so mean.
Hate to hear that.
I don't like to hear it.
He's got a puke. Also, you all didn't see this on the air. Wade Barrett got a great pop for his return. That was
beautiful.
Cool. I think I had convinced Santos Escobar to do LWO Lexington World Order shirts. That's very important. He should absolutely do those. Brawling Brutes got a really big pop on the screen. Dakota Kai still featured in Damage Control's entrance. Lots of cool stuff there. It's very impressive to see how quickly they put up and take down the Grayson Waller effect. But man, when Logan Paul did the exit stage right and they were rushing him out of there, holy crap, man. All eyes were on him. Everybody in our section was trying to like get autographs, pictures, everything like that. It was very impressive to see. I mean, nothing as pathetic as showing up at his hotel with four empty bottles of Prime trying to get him to sign. But
no, I can't imagine how embarrassing something like that would be.
That's really
my gosh.
You have to be a real loser to do something like that. Yeah,
you do. I can't imagine anybody doing that. Oh, that would be awful. God. But
he's gonna puke.
Weird. People are weird.
That's how I felt when I heard it.
Yeah,
that's so pathetic. He's gonna puke. He's gonna puke. Prime is good though. I can't lie. They don't sponsor us, but it's a pretty tasty product. I'll give them that. There's a lot of it in the UK.
Oh yeah,
big Prime place. Also, like, so I've noticed they don't put salt on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been training for an undisclosed thing of late, and I've limited myself to like one or two cheat snacks, cheat meals. Not this week. Every night I'm trying a new candy. Everyone, they've got Skittles without shells on them here.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. They're called Chewies. I'm going to try them soon.
Did you have sticky toffee?
Sean, is this your first time out there, Sean?
Yeah, my first time.
Okay, so you notice if you go to like a bodega out there, they have all the American food. They have it in a section with warning signs on it. It's crazy. Yeah. So all the American food.
I'm in a really nice hotel, but there's this really, really like tight, small bodega right next to us. You can tell they got this property a long time ago and they ain't going anywhere. And of all the places on the street, it's the best place, except their sodas aren't cold at all. And they're cooler. I don't know what it does. But I can't find my Monster Energy anywhere, the type that I drink. So I've been getting Vanilla Coke Zero. And like that, you can't find that where I live in this specific bottle. Like the serving sizes are so much smaller.
Yes.
It's like, there are so many different things that you can get here that you can't get in the States. It's good. For one, a good internet connection.
Damn, Kate, what is happening right now? Is it because there's too many streams on in your computer? Hello, Kate? Kate?
What website are you using right now, Kate?
It's brutal.
Because I'll tell you what Kate needs.
Keep talking.
Kate needs the fastest VPN.
Yes.
I'm traveling a lot, and when you travel, you got to protect your data. You got to protect your privacy online. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows me to do that, allows me to browse safely and securely. When you go to an airport, when you go to an arena, a restaurant, a hotel, you're usually connecting to that unsecured Wi-Fi, which leaves you susceptible to having your data stolen, any number of things taken from your private connection or what should be your private connection. NordVPN.com/Fightful makes it a private connection with the fastest VPN in the world, a 30-day money-back guarantee, and a ton of other features in addition to that peace of mind that you get when you can browse safely and securely. And I'm talking all your devices, Surface Pro, laptop, desktop, PC, smart TV, router, phone, whatever you're taking with you, NordVPN.com/Fightful will add extra layers of security to your digital life. You can get a password manager, a file encryption tool. Be safe, be smart, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Sean, the only thing as a film producer and person who loves doing this for a living, the fact that the goddamn camera is focused on your mic and not on you pissed me off so much every time I watch that. Because yeah. You're so out of focus. I'm like, no, what a great ad. And all I can see is a microphone.
Yeah, I'm going to work on that. I'm working on my production into things ASAP, actually.
But let me know. I'll make my way over to wherever you're at. And
Lexington, we'll Kentucky. For you.
Yeah, let's do it. Never been.
I'm going to try to get some AEW people in studio in August. I'm sure so. CM Punk will come right by.
I love that.
I'm going to try to give him his Fightful award, and I just know it's going to be like the old man on the plane that's like, shake my hand! I want to shake your hand! So it's going to be like, I just know it. But yeah, guys, before I hop off here, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have, let's be real. We got the most accurate
yes. scoops
on the planet. When we report something, you don't need to go, by golly, is mm-hmm. that true? Is that reputable? I make sure it's true. I make sure that it's reputable. And if not, I'll say this is a rumor that I heard. I will be very transparent with that. And right now I've got a text-based Q&A going on, and I'm just going to keep it going for a little while. Jimmy was supposed to do a Q&A this week, but schedule stuff happens. But we've got a bunch of bonus shows for you this weekend, like pay-per-view prediction shows or pay-per-view preview shows, and then special review shows like Alex on Sour Graps and the like. So I want to thank you guys for letting me stop by at, let's see.
Go to bed.
3:30 a.m.
Go to bed, you maniac.
1 a.m. local. I don't think I'm going to.
I demand it. You are sick, sir.
Yeah, but...
But you're going to get real meds out there. That's the thing. So don't worry about it. You go down there to the bodega.
Well, let me clean tell meds. You. Let me tell you. Is it because they spell Claritin wrong here?
Oh.
Is it? Did they spell it wrong, or is it like how they spell color and center? Where it's just different.
Maybe. Ibuprofen, but here's what I respect. It's got Braille. And listen, hold on. I'm going to read it in Braille. Ibuprofen.
Wow, the man.
Wow, look at you.
Unbelievable.
I'm trying to learn a little bit of Spanish. Now I know how to do Braille. Hell yeah, I'm going to do all of our podcasts in Braille.
I don't think that... You know what? That's a great idea, Sean. That's
For less than idea. A box of Claritin, you can get yourself Fightful Select, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't top that. I'm getting out of here. Thank you, guys.
Later, brother.
Bye.
Bye. Well. Nice well, to have the bruv stop by. The lad, the chat.
3:30 a.m.
He's a maniac. He's out of his mind. But here's the thing. That's like not that different than how he normally works. Like he's always up very, very late. But he's sick and in London. So now he's like on a time difference with it. But guys, we're going to get our regular show kind of underway here. We got some super chats and some humper chats that came in that were not for Sean because he's not the only person that generates the love. Okay, we've got Auntie Collins asking me what figures I have. I got Eddie Kingston, partner.
Oh, me too.
I got CM Punk.
Of course. I got
CM Punk. And I have Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, I got that one too. And, I'm your puppy.
I have the dog collar match set.
Oh, you got that?
He's the best.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I did. It looks amazing. It looks amazing. Would strongly recommend. Actually worth the money. considering how expensive it was. and what else we got going on? Matthew Plus saying Katie has the worst of a lot of things, including bangs. You know what?
Wow.
It's your birthday today. So I'm going to say thank you for the money. Enjoy your little insult. It's the only one I'm giving you. Move along. All right.
Her bangs look pretty okay today. And I'm going to lie to you guys.
My bangs look all right. My bangs look fine. They're not the best. They're not the worst. Ugh. I wish. My internet would be great then. My internet would be fantastic. Guys. Weird start to the show because of my internet and Sean joining, but we are going to do kind of the traditional reminder. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats, leave a thumbs up on this video. You can support us on Twitch at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Sean plugged you everything you could possibly want on Fightful Select, but we will remind you also that Alex Pawlowski and I will be live with a Money in the Bank alternative review to the one that is behind the paywall. If you like to get sour, we'll see what tomorrow brings, but we'll be having a lot of fun back there as well. Lots of added value back there. Not only do you get all the scoops in the game, but that text Q&A, you get continuation shows, you get retro reviews. Sean does his figure hauls from time to time. A lot of added value. Stuff coming out every day over there on Fightful Select. So subscribe for $5. And also a reminder to subscribe to this YouTube channel. We're creeping up toward 100,000, and Sean is kind of proactively doing a little bit more with that. There's going to be actual content that is for subscribers only. So before, it hasn't really been that. So we are working on building out more value for our free platforms too. But nothing beats Fightful Select, and nothing beats my co-host, Alex Cardoza. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing excellent. Poor Sean. We started off the show with a little sniffle, but ended it with a little happy moment there, right? You know, yeah. But SmackDown wasn't bad today. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't also that bad. The crowd had fun. That's all that we care about, people having a good time.
It was a very go homey, go home show. I'm go like, homey. it just was like, there wasn't a ton of in-ring action on it. Like, all the angles are going to be wrapping up tomorrow, not today, right? So I didn't have expectations that were that high. I'm just having one of those days/weeks where I'm like, I'm just so in love with wrestling. I don't even care. It's just like a
beautiful,
weird
it's
thing.
Beautiful.
Like,
it's a beautiful time right now. I keep on saying that.
Wrestling. I've got all these like Fujimari matches that people have been giving me to watch. I'm going to watch them this weekend. Yoshinari matches that I'm going to be watching too. I'm excited. Love this. This is fun. But we are going to stick in WWE world. As Sean noted, the passing of Draws as well. Mm. For those of you who are less familiar, because his career was on the shorter end, unfortunately, he was a football player and a wrestler with WWE who sustained a career-ending injury on a power bomb of all things, and was quadriplegic for a little bit, but did eventually regain use of a lot of his upper extremities. And he stayed in the business. He wrote columns and spoke about his injury. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of medical complications, unfortunately, at the end of his life. So a life cut far too short, a career cut far too short. So we do remember him, and of course everything that he gave to us, most known for like an Attitude Era gimmick. But
and you said writer, he definitely wrote. He was McMahon kept him around for a long time when the magazine was out. He wrote on the magazine, I believe, and he also wrote on WWE.com after the magazine disappeared. So he was there for a long time.
He was. He contributed for a long time to the industry. So. He will most certainly be missed, and all too young. I think he was only 54. So
yeah.
And I'll also just remind everybody that it's the last day of Pride Month. Some weird stuff going on in the world. Fightful's for everyone. Wrestling is for everyone. You are safe here. We have the best moderators in the game.
Yep.
Led by Luis, the GOAT. But let's dive into some SmackDown. We start with our World Tag Team Champions, our undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who beat Pretty Deadly with an F and disco ball, as our wonderful moderator Luis points out. This was a perfectly fine match. Kevin Owens is real good at selling injuries. I bought that injury spot hook, line, and sinker. I hope he's all right. But he wins with a stunner to Price, and Sami just with a hell of a haluva kick on Wilson for the pin to retain. This was the right call, but Pretty Deadly is really good. And they got a nice hometown reaction. It was really nice to see them in the ring. I always pop for that Twin Magic spot because it's so egregious. Like, the only thing matching about them is their gear. They have different color hair. They have different looks about them entirely. But it makes me laugh pretty much every time. I love it. But great to see them in front of their, you know, their home crowd. And even though they got the loss here, I thought it was a really decent match to start us off. The scary-ish spot that I'm referring to was in the ring. We have Owens hitting a super kick and a cannonball senton to Prince. He looked ahead to the top of the rope, but he was selling the leg like he had tweaked it, but he still hit the swanton bomb. So if he did tweak it, it's probably just a tweak. Sounds like he might just be really damn good at his job and psyched us all out. Good on him. But what did you think of our opening match, Alex?
Yeah, it was strong. Pretty Deadly seems to continue growing on me ever since, you know, I was smartened up to who they were down at NXT, and I started watching a little bit more NXT. So just to see them, you know, their work is outstanding. It looks flawless. They don't look like they come from NXT and they just might be a little, you know, scared underneath green, the bright man. Lights. Like, yeah, for sure.
They came over from the UK side too. Yes. So like even in developmental, they're not like baby faces coming through, not like face heel baby faces. Yeah. I mean, young guys coming up the ranks. Sure. They have that experience about them. So even though they went through NXT right there, the cohesion makes a little bit more sense.
Sure. For sure. Yeah. I like the matches. I like what's going on right now with trying to build the tag team division. But I want to see a little, you know, see where this is going to go. I want to see some actual, you know, let's really put some thought into like the division with Sammy and KO and see what they're going to be doing with these belts. Like, let's tell you, these poor guys are running around with four belts right now. Let's give them something pretty to wear, you know, Pretty Deadly. That is.
Hey. Wouldn't be mad about that, but I do wonder if they're more likely to split the belts. I could see that happen.
Oh yeah, like, you think? Yeah,
I could for the tag divisions because both brands,
okay,
like could benefit from that, and they probably don't want to work both programs all the time.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So I could see it, probably not in the immediate future, but I could see that eventually.
And I'll tell you where you'll probably hear that first is on Fightful Select, the best $5 in the biz. I'm just saying.
Less than Claritin. That's the new
move. Less than a box of Claritin.
I love it. I absolutely love it. But we, after the match, have the Brawling Brutes interrupting Adam Pearce, who's being interviewed. We get a contendership match for Ridge Holland and Austin Theory. This was weird from the live perspective, mm-hmm. and it was kind of weird from the tape perspective. Mostly what Sean was alluding to before with the finish. I did not like it. That rolling drop kick just didn't feel impactful enough to be a finishing move. Like, it doesn't quite work. I feel like it's a great move to add some punishment and set up a finisher. And he has a perfectly fine drop kick, but it ain't one of those drop kicks where you're like, that guy's done. There are people who have those drop kicks out there, and yes. Austin Theory's isn't one of them, and it's a perfectly suitable drop kick. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not like a world ender of a drop kick. Didn't love the finish there. I don't know what we're doing with this Austin Theory reign. I don't know if Sheamus is going to dethrone him. I think if LA Knight doesn't win the Money in the Bank briefcase, he's a face whether they book him to be one or not. Like, the way that the crowd is behind him dethroning Austin Theory and doing some really good work in the mid card, I wouldn't hate, assuming he's not winning Money in the Bank. Also in this match, Santos Escobar, I think, could be a really good contender for that U.S. title. I think that could be very fun, having an LWO member carrying around a U.S. title. There's a lot of fun to be had with that. And he's just an absolutely phenomenal wrestler. So this Austin Theory stuff has not really clicked in fully for me for the entirety of the reign, and definitely not of late. What did you think of what we got kind of set up here?
Yeah, like you mentioned off the top, it's just it felt finicky. Yeah, I just mixed two goddamn words together. Sorry,
I like
guys.
It.
I'm Puerto Rican. I just like to make up things word-wise. But yeah, so thing about Austin Theory is that since he got the belt, there was a point there where he was really like looking strong. He was like, his mic skills all of a sudden were like really on point. It didn't look like he was reading cue cards. We spoke about this before a couple months ago. And I really thought that they were going to push him and elevate him and do, you know, you don't want to do the same thing as the world championship, you know, where you're kind of like defending it in a bigger world, right, than what it is, because it is just a U.S. championship. But I was expecting a little bit more out of this. And I told you this a while ago. It was starting to feel flat. It was starting to feel a little boring. I don't know why he was defending it or why he wasn't. And now I'm just left thinking, are we just going to move it on to someone else? You know, like, it doesn't matter whether it happens or doesn't. And I wish I didn't feel like that.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like, it feels like they put a lot of equity in him, and him losing it isn't going to have a tremendous payoff, which is what kind of like, just for me as a measure, I put into that. Like, if you put a ton into a title reign, the person you lose it to, that should transfer almost. And that's how you kind of build on these legacies. I don't know if that's happened. Now, there's a lot of instances where you use belts to make the wrestler. I don't think that quite got accomplished either. No. I think it was kind of doomed from the start when you cash in on a lower title during an open challenge. You look inherently dumb, and it's a lot to recover from. And then John Cena annihilates you on the mic. And here we have piped in boos.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in this arena was giving insane reactions all night, and they're still piping in boos. Like, that makes me a little bit nervous. And for all things, we get Sheamus running down after this post-break attack that we have. And it's like, well, if he's not going to get booed against Sheamus in the UK, who's he going to get booed against? Like, so it does unfortunately feel like they have to go back to the drawing board with him. I don't know if he goes back up with the way, if he rejoins forces there. I don't know if that's the move. I feel like Gargano and Ciampa should be kind of like, DIY should reunite. They should have their thing. I don't think Austin Theory needs to be back in that picture. I feel like they kind of have to advance past it, but unfortunately for him, it just hasn't felt like it's clicked into anything that has felt like title run.
I feel bad for him, because I think what would have been if maybe he was the Intercontinental Champion, and then I just still don't see it. I still see it being just falling flat. And then what's after that? Then I'm going to elevate him to the world title or to the, you know, the Universal Undisputed Underwhelming Belt, whatever they want to call it now. But yeah, I feel bad, because he could be a really good talent. I think somewhere someone is just maybe it was the golden egg thing. I don't know. Who knows?
Oh man, yeah, that's been damned for a long time, hasn't it? But I don't know. I hope they figured out with and for him. He definitely has the chops in the ring. He's good in the ring.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Good looking cat too.
He's a good-looking cat, says Alex. That not even a spooky witch, and Alex isn't on that. I love it. I love it.
we need more spooky witches in London.
We need London overrun by spooky witches. Hey, sorry, Karrion Kross is not only a tarot card reader, he's a chess man as well. I don't know, man.
That's another one. I'm sorry, Kate. We've been talking for months about him. What is happening?
I don't know. Like, we get the vignette, the style of it always is well produced, etc. They called out AJ Styles and refers to him as one of the most decorated competitors of all time. Duh. But he made AJ gasp for air, and just like chess, he beat him with 3 moves. Next week, here's what killed me. Next week, he's calling for checkmate TikTok. No, we can't do that. You cannot call for checkmate TikTok. You cannot have tarot, a ticking clock, a hot spooky witchy wife, and a chess metaphor all in one picture. It's too crowded for like a minute-long vignette. It's too much.
I don't know, man. This
did not work for me. It bums me out. It bums me out. Because it's the creative that I don't like. And I have I've got some iffy things with him, like from a ring perspective, but like, I saw this man on the indies. He was just out there kicking people's asses and taking names, and it was great. I was more on him in NXT than I am now. I didn't love the fact that he disemboweled the whole roster in the process, much in the same way that I don't love that Roman disemboweled the whole roster in the main, especially during COVID, because that was just such a weird time. Right. But I don't know, man. It feels like there are people that they added for roster depth. I think Karrion Kross was someone Triple H intended on bringing back as a top player in the game, and it just has not clicked at all.
And I think we said this before when we were kind of getting removed out of the pandemic, there was still people being let go. And then as things started ramping up, you know, AEW started getting some people and they were looking to really get their hands on people out there. And WWE started ramping up and creating contracts for people. And I feel like he was one that he was like, all right, I need him back. He's my guy. And by he, I mean Triple H. And it's no secret, Freddie has spoken about it on the podcast. He was going to be Freddie's first, champion, wrestling champion on his federation. Federation.
Oh, and, man, you just named his Fed, though, when he started.
Yes, so it's a shame that a person with that type of talent and caliber has just been being a creeper behind the weeds, just looking for wrestlers to read tarot cards to and hug them until they choke out and fall asleep.
And initially, I liked the tarot card thing because it tied the presentation of him and Scarlett together. Like, that was always my complaint, and it was definitely Pulaski's complaint of, like, what is badass motorcycle guy and hot witchy wife doing in the same picture? Like, it didn't connect, but the tarot card stuff kind of brought them into the same world. And then we got the clock and we've got this chess metaphor. I don't know. But what I do know is that later in this episode, AJ accepts the challenge. I think you could expect some shenanigans from Mia Yim, Mee Chin, who Sean Rossap is very scared of. I know he'll deny it, but
there's one good thing about Karrion Kross. The man knows his witches.
He does know his witches.
That is the one constant with him, and I applaud him for that.
I have not heard a single person be like, you know what the problem with this presentation is? That gal is not attractive enough.
It's all about the witchy mood.
Dear Lord, what a bombshell and a presence about her. Like, not only is she beautiful,
she commands the room.
She really does have... She seems very confident in who she is. I don't feel like the everything witchy that's style around it has clicked in. But we're going to tie all the bloodline stuff together at the end as we usually do. So what we will do is go ahead and move right along.
I think Luis is screaming at me on the chat.
Oh, no. What did he say?
He said Alex Cardoza. Yes. I'm sorry. Sorry. I apologize, guys.
Don't apologize.
I love the witches.
You do. Witches.
I love when you guys tweet me when witches show up on screen. And Kate is always the leader in that charge. So
I'm always there.
Thanks, Kate. I appreciate you.
At some point, I just become everybody's little sister in the hosting or co-hosting role. I've realized
that. I love it.
Nobody more than Reg. But, like, I just poke the bear with that dude all the time. I just tell him everything is cinema and that Bray Wyatt is the greatest. And it's so easy to get under his skin. But
I knew a wrestler named Bray Wyatt.
Sad. I hope he's okay.
Me too.
He's okay. Speaking of okay, this match was okay. have Bayley with her Money in the Bank spot on the line, defeating Shotzi. This ends via chicanery, as one might expect. Io putting Bayley's foot on the ropes to stop a pin, but Shotzi attacking Io, which lets Bayley hit the eye rake. One of my favorite underutilized heel moves. MJF uses it a lot really well. Bayley's used it a lot really well of recent, especially. But she hits the rose plant for the win. A common trend that I don't love is... there's a lot of women's matches that have felt more like angles than matches, if that makes sense. Like, Asuka and Charlotte are two of the best women's wrestlers in the world that have had some of the best matches that in women's wrestling against each other. And they had a mess of a match. Like, I have not seen them ever be out of lockstep. And that whole match felt very off. probably because it was overwrought with the Bianca distractions. But like this, all of the damage control stuff, like I get setting up angles, it's wrestling, but it feels like we've been so overpowered by angles and not had enough just like women beating each other up, which I would prefer to see. This was kind of an example of that. I expect more of this on a go home show because you're trying to protect people from injuries, etc. Like this is the place where you do stuff like that. It's your last attempt to drive an angle home before a pay-per-view, and you don't want anything too risky for the wrestlers that are supposed to be wrestling again tomorrow. But it felt that way last week too, and the week before, which is kind of a bummer, but this was perfectly fine. Interesting that Io helped out Bayley after being the one to nominate her for this, which I think is really, really fun because it keeps the like who's turning on who and Money in the Bank stuff alive a little bit. And then after, we have Shotzi confronting Io and Bayley backstage. They beat Shotzi up and cut her hair. My goodness.
Oh,
my word. What were your thoughts on the match and the post-match?
I think it was fine. Bayley was completely over.
We can talk about that.
And listen, as much as I love all the shouting and the singing and the markiness that is the crowd, I think after like the fourth one, I was like, okay, please mute it. I'm going to be sour Alex right now. I'm going to steal a page from Mr. Kowalski. I know. I'm going to be sour 2.0 now real quick. Hold on.
Oh, no.
I love it. I'm all for it. But after a while, I had to mute it. I was like, all right, cool. I mean, like, it's cool. Like, even the announcer sounded a little bit like, all right, enough is enough. But
well, this was started with NXT, baby.
I know. You don't have to defend it, Kate. Okay with it. Listen, I'm a mark for singing and dancing in the crowd, you know. But I think it was good. That beatdown of Shotzi was, I mean, I don't know what we're going to set up, but I think it was really cool to see that that side of the women. I love it when they kind of extend it outside of the ring. I love when the storytelling just continue to add, you know, little droplets of things in there. And who better than like Bayley's like a badass. I've always seen her as a badass. This whole heel run, she's been just that. She's been perfect with it. I always thought that like she wasn't going to
really special combination. Yes. Of being absolutely hysterical when she wants to be. Malcolm Bivens / Stokely Hathaway has the same thing where, you know, not in the ring as much, but it's like can be extremely silly chastising Michael Cole and bam, the next second, like it never takes you out of taking her seriously just because she's being funny. So I really, really love that about her. And you're right. Like the rose plant is planted, man. Like she's a really, really great wrestler. And it's so special to me that she's able to accomplish that because I also find her to be one of the most selfless in-ring wrestlers that I've ever seen, man or woman. Like, she is just so, so giving to whoever she's in the ring with. Still come across as a badass while being that giving is not always easy for people to accomplish.
Sure. And again, it's not that I don't like fun and singing because I'm the first one out there singing along with my mates.
No, when crowds go into business for themselves, though, I get it.
Yes, like, right.
We had that reaction at Clash in the Castle, and then Bayley shut it down, and it shut down, right?
Oh, so I get you. Okay.
That was it.
With it. That's it.
So we will continue to move along, guys. I know there's not a ton that people are raring to talk about tonight, unfortunately, but we can talk about Money in the Bank tomorrow. I'm sure most of the chats are going to be for a Mr. Yeah! And what we might expect, we'll go over what we think are some likely outcomes for Money in the Bank at the end of this too. But feel free to get in your super chats and humper chats about anything you want to talk about on SmackDown. We plugged the heck out of Fightful Select in the beginning of the show, but there's more news coming about that and AEW news coming around the corner. We've got a real, 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 real busy summer that has kicked into gear. So some really great stuff coming
up. Throw humper chats, you know, throw some, super chats our way. I might show you a little collar, you know what I'm saying? I might get a little busy on a Friday night, baby. Let's go.
A little classical action
here. It is Friday, everyone. You know, it's time to get freaky.
Freaky.
4-day weekend. I might go crazy, everyone.
Let's do it.
4th of July. Let's go.
Well, mate, we got an Aussie here.
A lot of mating going on today.
A lot of mating. So much mating. You know what? I'm so glad you said that, Alex.
Oh, shit. Because
mating doesn't always come easily to people, all right? Some people have trouble making that mate connection. You know what I mean? Some people, the bruv ain't bruvin', all right? Sometimes the lads, they're not as chuffed as they want to be, all right? Sometimes you run out of British, just like, phrases to say in your Blue Chew segue. So you play the ad.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call-up with BlueChew.com and the code FIFEL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew. And the code FIGHTFUL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top, if you know what I mean. Memorable performance. High spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
I'll tell you what, our synergy, to use a corporate word here, because then, you know, I'm that type of person.
Corporate.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The corporate, like the corporate ministry. That's what I'm going to do here. Corporate FIGHTFUL, Alex. Our synergy is pretty, like, I didn't even know that you were going to do that. Like, we didn't practice that, peeps.
No, it's just. Just
like, okay. I mean, we threw it up there. One thing led to another, and
we're talking
about packages.
A shirtless set of sleeves away from being pretty deadly. That's how in locks.
I think. Are, okay? Can I be honest? I'll be 100% honest. I will make it. I will make one. I'm pretty good with my hands. I will make one and wear it here on the show. 100%. I will go pretty deadly on a Friday night here with y'all.
Oh my goodness. We're going to, there'll be a super chat gimmick about that. We're going to make that happen. We are going to make everyone. That happen.
Me and Kate, we'll do it.
We'll do it. We're going to get it done. Here's something that didn't get it done for me. Guys, I'm a Logan Paul hater, okay?
I am.
I went into this closed-minded, and I came out of it closed-minded. I fully admit it. I have no interest in seeing this guy on screen at all, and I thought the segment was not that great from his perspective, and I will explain why with substantive criticism. But if you're like, oh, you're a Logan Paul hater, yeah, I am. I don't like the guy. I don't want to see him on my screen. I fully admit he's extremely athletic in the ring. I don't care. I have no interest in seeing anything beyond him. I the four times a year that he comes around and is constantly in a title picture bugs the shit out of me. When there's people in NXT who should have been champions by now, and Ricochet is just like doing stuff when they feel like it. Like, there are people who deserve that spot way more than him. So I'm a Logan Paul hater, but I also thought this was not that great. I was not a fan of what we got here, but I was a fan of what happened after Logan Paul. So let's get through the bad to get to the, yeah, good. That is around the corner on this. We've got our mate Grayson Waller on the Aussie side of things, and his Between Two Ferns set. I always appreciate.
I love that. Got, like, I can't blame. Believe you made a reference to that.
Oh, wow. It's one of my favorites.
Ladies and gentlemen, this show is out of control.
The hell was Logan Paul doing with this voice? He was like, yo, I got what it takes. I was like, what are you doing? With the delivery of your promo, never mind the content. I was like, you sound like, I don't know, what I think Slim J from ROH 15 years ago was trying to sound like. Like, I don't understand what this like tough guy cadence was, but holy hell, he seemed like a dork that was trying, like when Eminem came out and all the white boys were trying to be hood, like this did not work.
I wonder if no one backstage actually has, like, I understand that you produce a person. Listen, I'm a producer. I work with high caliber people. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's not intimidation, because I'm not intimidated by anyone, but it is respect for the work that they've done in the past, right? So I don't like overproduce or say things that I know this person. But when it comes to him, someone's not doing something backstage like they're supposed to, because it sounds forced. It sounded weird. It sounded off. I don't know what was happening, but I'm going to let you continue because you know where I stand about this man. So,
well, if I wasn't a big enough Logan Paul hater, we've got Alex Pulaski coming on. So we have that for us. But I will tell you what I also did not like about this promo.
AKA. You need to be in the middle.
In the middle, yeah.
Yes.
There are some things that when you're this green at it, isn't going to work. Weird tough guy voice, whatever the hell that was aside, there are things that when you've been doing this for a while, I think you would just naturally know to pivot away from. And I felt like Logan Paul had a big swing and a miss when he went for this. You had a mediocre career for two decades and were a manager thing. Because when LA Knight comes out to that reaction, you can't play that card. Like, he was way too hot to try and call somebody lackluster in that moment. And the manager thing is widely known, like, a bad idea by Vince, because look at what this guy is doing now. It made him kind of look like an idiot more than his opponent. I'm sure that's what he was scripted to say, but someone who is a little more experienced, I think, is able to pivot off of that a little mm-hmm. bit better. I thought he looked real, real dumb in this, but LA Knight kind of saved it by being like, mm-hmm. are you deaf? Loved that from him. Absolutely, absolutely adored that. The crowd reaction was absolutely incredible. It was on par with the people that are actual UK talent being there. And I just thought it was great. And I also like what Santos Escobar had, except for this London World Order shirt, which what the
Stop
hell?
Stop it. I said this on Twitter. We have one damn thing and you took it away from us. One thing. And you took it away from us.
I mean, they were in, where were they? The Raging Cajun Dome? Last week, they should have been the Louisiana World Order last week.
Oh, like, they're really anytime they're in
any place that starts with an L, just co-opt it. It'll be fun. You'll sell a few shirts.
Yeah, Who Sean cares? Said he's pushing for the Lexington World Order when he was with us at the top of the show.
That's like three L places in a week. In 3 weeks, we should definitely every time they do a SmackDown, it should be in an L place.
I agree wholeheartedly. But I liked what Escobar had to say with this. I hate that they put him in this match because it's an absolutely handcuffed situation. But he said that Logan Paul might want the briefcase and that LA Knight might think he's already won, but that he needs it. And I like that because it kind of feels the most true. Like, of anybody in the match, Santos Escobar would be the one who needs it the most to get to where he needs to go for a championship match. And then we get Pete Dunne, I'm not calling him the B word, coming down to the ring ready to beat ass. I will say overall, outside of the Logan Paul stuff, this was better than most of these segments go, in my opinion. Like, I hate these revolving door segments, but this one was pretty good because I feel like all of the guys in there made sense of what they had to do. But I don't know, man, this Logan Paul stuff, not for me. Not for me. How you doing, Pulaski?
I'm gonna let Alex talk because I can see it.
I literally just wanted to come on and do, hey, Bailey. I want to know if you be my girl. Hey. And I just wanted to do that like softly in the background for the entire show, for the rest of it. But I'm not going to do that to Alex because I know he hates it.
Corporate Alex does not like that. Corporate Alex.
Logan Paul is terrible, and they needed to he needed to like well, you know what, you're ever the guy who has dumb ideas, said that you should be a manager. So there is not the burn you think it is, you know, especially when everybody around you is like, is saying, yeah, no, he has dumb ideas. And now that he's not a manager, all we want to do is share everything he does. If the guy who likes to do things to make the people who pay to go to his shows angry decides to put the Money in the Bank briefcase on you tomorrow instead of on the guy that we love or literally anybody else, we're going to burn this arena to the ground. So, you know, they were vocalizing how their choice, saying, A, this guy, and yeah, B, no matter what, not that guy. And so we'll see what they do tomorrow. But I like to just be prepared for the worst.
Oh, like Logan Paul's definitely winning tomorrow.
I like to steel myself against the horrible things that are coming so they don't hurt as much. But it's still going to hurt.
Oh, yeah. Logan Paul's definitely winning tomorrow. I don't even know if he keeps it. They might like put the Money in the Bank briefcase on the line or whatever. But I definitely think Logan Paul is ripe to win it. This popped me from Royce-ing. To be fair, Corbin, Alex, cultural appropriation is an English tradition.
We learned it by watching them. Like, we learned it by watching them. America got its ideas from. Yes, that's basically that was definitely.
I did mention last week.
Who taught you to do this stuff?
I don't. I'm
you all right? I learned it by watching you.
I did mention last week that if the Logan Paul wins Money in the Bank, there was going to be, I was literally going to run backwards through a cornfield naked. I am sorry. I just, there's just
no way didn't to happen because guess what's happening tomorrow? If Logan Paul's
tomorrow night, I'll be texting Kate. I don't think I'll be next week.
There's going to be some real questionable crop circles out there in North Carolina. And if that's not Fightful Select content, I don't know.
Let's put it behind a paywall. Let's do it. I'll strap a freaking GoPro to my head and just go.
You gotta start a Cornly Fans.
Cornly Fans.
Cornly Fans.
I see the.
I'd say it's pornography.
Look at
Is there something there? Is that a thing? We're gonna find it, and it's gonna be great. I already played my Bluetooth ad, unfortunately, but. Alex, is there anything that you wanted to sing to us in the meantime?
Hey, Bailey, I want to know if you'll be my girl.
It just doesn't stop. Bailey, I still hear it in the arena. I want to
know if you'll be my girl. Hey, Bailey, ooh. I want to know if you'd be my girl. I'm a hugger. Hey,
oh, wow.
Hey, Bailey, if you'll be my girl.
And if you need to go blue, bluechew.com, code FIGHTFUL for all of your cornfield needs.
Look at that guy. Huh?
Look at that fella. Well, all right, we're going to move along to some super chats and humper chats because everyone in the chat is like, let me talk to you about LA Knight.
Anthony Do Velasquez. Not send any super chats with those specific lyrics. I will cry a little bit on screen.
Don't do that. Alex Pulaski won't sing to you if that's the case.
Yeah, just request that song in different voices and we'll see who can sing it the best.
Anthony Velasquez saying LA Knight is by far the only right choice to win Money in the Bank, but knowing this company, they will probably give it to Logan Paul. Logan Paul is showing up with that briefcase on every media appearance he can possibly do, and he will be back around with that briefcase 3 times a year. Vicky L saying, Kate, my daughter and I sending you cash for the LP hate. I'm a Logan Paul hater. I'm a Jeff Jarrett hater. I'm a hater.
I could stand Jeff Jarrett. This guy is I'm sorry. I'm just going to stop because we'll just have an entire show talking about someone who takes a spot.
I had to cover Rick.
I I'm not going to continue going. Because there's stuff that's happening in my island.
Right,
that
but I had to cover Ric Flair's last to. Match.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay, then. I apologize.
No, no, no. You're okay. You're good. You're good. Anthony Velasquez said, I'm a Logan Paul hater as well and not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. If you're going to be a hater, be a proud one. You know what I mean?
Word.
That's what we do. That's what we do. But we get a match out of this. This match was entirely to give Pete Dunne a hometown pop, which I'm actually entirely here for. I have no problem with that. But we get Butch defeating Santos Escobar in LA Knight. Escobar kicks Butch, but flies into an elbow from him. We get the bitter end from Butch to end things. I'm sorry, my notes say Butch because he's Pete Dunne, especially when he's
B word.
Especially when he's in his hometown. He's definitely Pete Dunne in his hometown. But it was very nice to see him get this reaction. But what blew me away was these LA Knight reactions continued. It felt like LA Knight was in front of his home crowd. I feel bad because I feel like Santos Escobar has been kind of handicapped by this. But I also think there's a lot of things in store for the LWO, the London World Order, the Lexington World Order, the Louisiana World Order. Coming down the pike, there's a lot of things they could do with Ray. There's a lot of things that they could do with him in the mid-card. Him versus Austin Theory would be a perfectly suitable program, etc. So I'm hoping we just like kind of clear this hump because LA Knight's a face, guys. I don't know what to tell you, but this man is getting these reactions and he's supposed to be a heel. They got to stop having him put his foot on the ropes for roll-ups and stuff. This guy is a face. So
I think he's... He's but the potential to be the very best. I cheat and I do bad things and you love it, guy. Since Eddie Guerrero, he has the potential to be that much that beloved, where it doesn't matter that he does all these things. We love him so much that we're willing to look the other way, and sometimes we actually kind of like that he does it. He has the potential to be that. I don't know if they're actually going to go that route. But I think all you got to do is just take away the putting the feet on the ropes, and he's a wonderful tweener. That, like, when The Rock would come out and, like, dust all the heels on the mic, and that – but he said whatever he wanted to. He was saying heel stuff, but he was saying it to guys we didn't like. That's the kind of guy that LA Knight is primed to be.
I agree.
I'm
here for it.
I don't know what it is. I at this point, I don't know what to believe, what's true, what isn't, who's talking smack, if it's because they're old, if it's because they're not too, I don't know what it is anymore. How do you have someone that the crowd essentially is just telling you, do the right thing and just give it to us, you know? I don't understand. And you talk about people putting their finger on the pulse and missing completely. I don't know. Then you wonder why people get into arguments with me because I speak up for like places like AEW that does give you what you want. I'm known as a mark and a dick because
we've seen some swings and misses there, right? Like, what is Hobbs
100%
doing? Like, correct. Yes. It is on both brands, but to your point, WWE seems to more proactively block people that are this white hot.
Yes.
Like, they didn't learn from Daniel Bryan. They didn't learn from CM Punk and the pipe bond mara. Like, they continually, because they have a more, I'd say, formulaic way of booking things. I got my complaints about Dynamite. I would love for them to set up a match that is not a backstage interview, do something creative and freshen up the playbook. But they have to stifle baby faces. Like, it's just in everything that they do, it's been in their DNA for a really long time. Because they love giving heels the upper hand, and they don't switch things up beyond, let's just beat down a baby face. Look at Cody Rhodes, the adversity king, right? He's going to lose to Dominic Mysterio this weekend. Like, they just don't freshen things up in a way that is creatively satisfying for me as a viewer, where it just feels like they keep running the same play every single time. So,
well, we know who's going to show up tomorrow night during that match.
We do.
And they're going to ride that lawnmower straight to the ring. I don't know, whatever he wants to write this time, and flip the ring over. So we all know what's going to happen. The worst kept secret ever.
We've got some more chats coming in. Thank you so much for the support. Vicky L saying cash for Katalex. Love all three of you, Fightful number one. Thank you.
We love you. Yes.
We are number one. This. Every day is Fightful Day. And our wonderful friend Kylie saying it's the last day of Pride. So sad. Not here. It's not. Pride's every day.
Pride's every day in my heart. Yep. I don't care who.
Still your lovable trans girl and Damien and EO for Money in the Bank. Also, Kate, Alexis, stay beautiful, you amazing humans. Now, Pulaski, she did send that in before you showed up. So I don't think you're meant to be slighted as not being really pretty.
It's fine.
He's sexy.
I'm okay with it.
I like it. I take him next for chicken.
A segment that I thought was not going to be great, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad. I didn't know Asuka and Charlotte Flair were capable of having a bad match, but boy, howdy, did we get a bad match. This was so odd to me. I expected it to be overbooked from the fact that the story is not about this match. There were, like, just botches in this and some weird... just real misses from an in-ring perspective that is rare for either of these women, much less the two of them together. This was a mess from front to start, unfortunately. Like, I was looking forward to it being a semblance of a match, and we really didn't get anything. I did not like this. I like the story that's being built with Charlotte and Bianca. I don't like that Asuka feels like the third most important woman in this picture. At all. I don't like that both women's title holders feel like side pieces to their own freaking stories. It's driving me mad, I tell you. But this ends via disqualification. Was it DQ or no contest? I can't remember. No contest? When Bianca...
I think they called it a no contest.
They called it a no contest, right? Okay, my notes literally say two things, so apologies. Bianca is sitting at ringside and she got involved here. She took out Asuka and Charlotte after. Just some weird stuff in this. We get Charlotte climbing to the ropes and hitting a moonsault to the floor and just missing and landing on her feet, but Asuka trying to sell it anyway. It was just very, just weird. Just one of those nights where it didn't click in at any point. But they move towards Bianca and Charlotte starts laying in chops, but Asuka avoids a big boot, which is meant for Bianca. Asuka with a kick and gets dropped on the apron by Charlotte. Because why sell? And Bianca Belair has jumped the barricade and attacks Asuka. Then there's post-match, which is also not great. There are two KODs on a table, and it doesn't break either time. She hits one on Charlotte, and then the crowd's kind of egging it on, so she hits one on Asuka, too. That felt very, like, encouraged by the crowd, so I was glad Bianca leaned into it, because I think she could tell something was a little bit not working with what was going on out there. So I give her a lot of credit for that. But two KODs on that table, not breaking, is rough. And as Sean said earlier, Charlotte's body is just so long. She was trying to, like, do a handstand to go down in the KOD. And this whole thing was just a mess. Even the parts that were just in ring with Charlotte and Asuka, which, again, I didn't know they were capable of putting on a not great match. But I'll throw it to Cardoza first. What were your thoughts on what we got here today?
A mess, plain and simple.
It was messy.
It felt like we just took a plate of spaghetti, threw it up in the air, and said, "Hey, let this bitch land wherever it's gonna go." I don't know why was it so messy? Like, what was the thought process? Maybe just on paper, it sounded like it was gonna come out well, and then when they executed out there, it just became a shitstorm. I like this side of Bianca a little bit. I like to see what she's gonna be coming out with. I want her to be more of a ass kicker and less of a person talking on the mic, talking about how much she loves people. I want to see her beat people up. She's definitely leaning
heel. This feels like NXT Bianca's coming back out.
100%. Yeah, and so I don't know how they're gonna get there with these, like, weird matches. I'm sure they had to put something together like this just to have, you know, these three prominent faces on television tonight, you know? But other than that, I mean, it was all right. I mean, we'll see where it goes, you know?
Here's the thing. When I saw this in the rundown, I was excited because I was like, the finish isn't going to be for me, but when have Austin and Charlotte not delivered
100%
in general, much less together? So that surprised me with what was kind of missing from that. But Pulaski, what did you think? Was this off because of how overbooked it was?
Yeah. Charlotte doesn't fucking care. Like if you're not putting the belt on her, she's not gonna like. This is going to a no contest.
Yeah,
they're not gonna have the. They haven't said. Oh, we're gonna do the match tomorrow. They haven't like added it to tomorrow, so they're not gonna do the match until SummerSlam. So like, why would Charlotte try or care?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like she doesn't in matches like this. She doesn't like. Where the finish is going to be nothing, and they're only being given 8 minutes because Lord knows Roman Reigns' entrance should be longer than the women's title match. So like she basically just boycotted having a good match in protest of this entire thing. Like,
see, I don't know if I agree with that though, because I feel like the no selling or whatever, sure, we can see that from her on a somewhat consistent basis if you want to make that the complaint. But like, I think Asuka looked great in this, and some of it was like the literal move execution, which even if she doesn't care, that's not something that she'd normally like just full on missing someone is not like right. A symptom of not caring. I don't think this was weird. This was weird.
Yeah. And Asuka also, I think you're right, recognizes that she's the champion and the third most important thing in all of this. Like the way that they have done this, like if you say to me, hey, coming out of going into SummerSlam, the program's going to be Asuka's the champion and Bianca and Charlotte are challenging her in a three-way, I'd be like, that's gonna be great. And the match at SummerSlam may still be great. In fact, I think it's likely to be great. But right now they're messing this whole thing up because they've decided that they are going to try and turn Bianca heel during this. And she's right on every count. Asuka cheated to end her 13 and a half month long title reign. And she hasn't gotten a rematch against her. And she was like, okay, no. Like we have this new belt. We're going to give to the woman who blatantly cheated to end your title reign. You should be the one getting this belt ceremony, but she cheated to beat you, and we're not going to do anything about that for the time being, okay? Just hang back. Don't get involved. We got to do this title belt ceremony now, so we're going to do that. And then what happens? Charlotte shows up, and everyone goes, aha, LOL. Charlotte shows up and immediately gets a title shot. And that's what happened. So she's angry at Asuka for stealing her title by cheating. And she's angry at Charlotte for showing up and going, I'm at the front of the line. Literally, that's her new thing. I am the line. Everyone getting behind me. But that's like, but leaning into the thing we all hate about you, but not like making it the thing that we all hate about you,
yeah.
Like on purpose, is a really bad idea. So Bianca is right to be angry with Charlotte, and she's right to be angry with Asuka. And you're going to try and make us boo her when she's absolutely right about everything. And you're trying to say, okay, hey, who would you like to boo here? Charlotte or Bianca? Guess who 95% of the audience is going to choose 100 times out of 100?
And just from the perspective of Charlotte's a better heel too.
Yes. And you that's cannot the other piece turn, of this. You cannot turn anybody heel against Charlotte. It cannot be done. Becky couldn't do it.
No.
They couldn't do it. They somehow were like, let's turn Becky heel because everyone loves Charlotte so much. And then Becky, like people were like, no, we will not play along with your terrible you people promo they wrote for you. We will not play along with that. And they lucked out of that into the greatest run. The greatest year plus run of any female competitor they've had in years, of Becky Lynch becoming the man. That was not the plan. They were going to make her into some also ran heel. You cannot do that with Bianca. Not after you've turned her into Super Cena and you think you can turn her heel on just anybody. You have to turn her heel on somebody we love, that we want to protect, that we will not see Bianca use her incredible power against. The only way you can do this is if you somehow build Liv Morgan into what she was at this time last year. And then you have Bianca turn heel on her. If you have, let's say, Liv Morgan last year at this time when she won the Money in the Bank is at the top of the ladder about to steal it, about to take the briefcase, and Bianca pulls a Brock Lesnar 2019, just runs in, kicks her off the ladder, and goes and gets it herself. That would start people going, wait a minute, I don't like this. And then you can lean into it from there. But you cannot turn Bianca heel during all of this. It's not going to work.
I think the problem was that they were trying to tell, right, like you said, that's the perfect segue, because you can't, you're right, you can't. And then this story where she's just pissed off, so she's going to turn heel, like that's what they're playing on. The fact that she's pissed because management won't do anything. So she's pissed that management won't do anything about the one, how she not only lost the belt. And then
how relatable is that?
Right.
Your boss knows you are right, but won't do anything in the office to help you out.
Right.
Like that is incredibly relatable to a lot of people.
That's the story they're telling.
No way they're going to boo her.
Right. And then
the other piece of it is like, I actually really like Charlotte. She's such a better heel.
Right.
It's also the Charlotte piece of it. It's twofold. It's not just that Bianca's completely justified in her motivations. It's that even people that like Charlotte want to see her on the other side of this thing because she's just a better heel.
I don't think Charlotte either. Like, when you look at Charlotte, she sometimes it just feels like she just shows up and that's it. If she's there, she's part of, like, the top storyline no matter what. And sometimes, to me, I could be 1,000,000,000% wrong. Sometimes it looks like she's on automatic just because she knows she's going to be slotted into that position regardless of what's happening.
She seems to, and I've never spoken to either of these people, but she seems to have that thing Randy Orton has of, yeah, if you give me something good, I'll give you the best shit you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But if you give me an 8-minute match that is shorter than Roman Reigns' entrance on the Friday before a massive pay-per-view, that's overbooked with mediocre creative, she'll go out there and now I think she would normally give a better match than this. This just felt off. Because even her with her eyes closed is usually better than this, I feel like. Yeah. Like this was just a weird night. But you're right, Alex, in that it feels like she's scared. Like what she did with Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania was unbelievable.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Because they went out there and tore the house down, right? So yeah. I hear you. But the most important chat that we've gotten all night, Vicky L saying Alexis gets cash for his crowd singing counseling.
I am so happy. It's not what you can do for me. It's what I can do for you. Corporate Alex.
Corporate Alex. My goodness. And Roy Zhang, I can't even be mad at this because the Yankees are so damn bad this year. Saying match swinging this like it's batting third for the Yankees. Yeah, This was a Josh Donaldson of matches, my friend. This was not good. And I wish I could be angry at your chat, but I can't. Luis just always doing things to pop me. God bless him. The headline of this is weekly long-ass bloodline recap / bloodline drama part 69. I don't think he's been keeping track of the other 68 parts, but he knows my commitment to the 69 bit, and God bless
I him. Love that for you, Kate, so much.
Thank you. I
you
do
commit
too.
To that 69 because God bless you.
Because nice. Yeah.
Always.
Nice. This is pretty well done, though. It is getting a little redundant in that I'm like, can we go a week without the Usos super kicking someone? But I really liked one specific thing that they did in this, and I will call it out, but we get Roman coming out saying that he's the one, he's the only one, which coincidentally is also a lyric from a Justin Bieber song, and that distracted me for a good, like, 5 minutes. But I loved a few things here. The first being him saying that he will give the Usos an infinite amount of chances as long as they come out, acknowledge him, and apologize, and they can all move forward. He's getting desperate. Like, I love that. Like, this guy is trying to maintain his posture but knows he needs the Usos. So he's going to give them an infinite amount of chances, not because they're family, but because he needs them. I adore it, adore it, adore it. The Usos have had enough of this shit, all right? They are past acknowledging or apologizing. It's about consequences for your actions. Family is talking, and what happens when Roman loses? Roman hasn't been pinned in 3 years, but tomorrow night, they're pinning him in that ring. This match has to end with Jey Uso putting his shoulders to the mat 100%. Oof. Tomorrow, they go to war at Money in the Bank, and when Roman loses, he's the only one out. I adore them pivoting to the idea that they want Solo to be the tribal chief. This is such an interesting layer to me, because Jay's saying, I don't even want that position, but we'll give it to Solo. And there's a million ways they can go with that. Solo could be the next tribal chief, and the Usos could be the Usos. Jay could be doing that to manipulate Solo into coming over to his side. We could see Solo turn on Roman tomorrow because he's looking at strength and numbers. Fantastic little detail that adds dimension upon dimension upon dimension to this story. I loved it. It had absolutely no need to be this long, but the meat and potatoes of this was some really good stuff to go home on. Of course, there's a brawl after this. Why wouldn't there be?
Yeah.
It's a go-home episode of wrestling television. It's a Bloodline episode of wrestling television. You put both of those in a pot. We're going home with the melee, but I thought this was a blast. Pulowski, what did you think?
It's fine. I mean, like it's like as you said, they do occasionally stuff like whatever it was 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, where they have this awesome bit of life that gets breathed into this thing, where where Jay runs down this whole thing to Jimmy, like I then ends up with okay, you're out. And I'm out to surprises everybody, kicks Roman. It's an awesome moment. And then last week, Roman's on the show, so it doesn't count. Because if Roman's not on the show, it doesn't count. Mm. They don't do anything if Roman's not on the show. Mm. And then this week, it's like you're basically just treading water. Like, we knew what we were getting 2 weeks ago when they super kicked Roman and had the brawl with Solo. And they were like, we've decided to break away from the Bloodline. We knew because they started saying immediately, Civil War. Bloodline versus, and they've done nothing since then to change any of it. We're at the same point going into Money in the Bank that we were coming out of that great segment 2 weeks ago. And this is the problem I have with WWE storytelling. They don't know what to do in the little sub chapters. They don't know how to tell those stories. So they just do nothing. And then we just move on. Like that's kind of a thing like that they do. Like when the Usos interrupted Solo during his match last week and they ended up kicking him. Okay, well, great. Basically the same thing he did last week. So, you know, like they don't really do anything. And tomorrow the match between them is going to be great. And depending on who wins, you might see some movement of more story. But if they're going to hold off on the inevitable Jay versus Roman thing until... I mean, if they're not going to do it at SummerSlam, then they're not going to do it for a long time because that ain't happening at a B pay-per-view. So, like, right. They're going to wait in a long time to do that. Rumble, maybe? Like, that's... Now, okay, like, can you stretch out this story where we all know we're getting Jay versus Roman and hopefully Jay's the guy to beat Roman? Like, how do you stretch that out over 6 months? You guys are bad at telling stories. So occasionally there'll be some good moments in there, some good segments, but they're going to be like four of them over 6 months. And we just got to like hope the rest of them aren't bad.
Yeah. My thing that makes me nervous is if they don't throw the title on Jay at SummerSlam, I don't want LA Knight to win this and then have a story where he unsuccessfully cashes in just to buy time. Like, that would make me nervous. I think Logan Paul's winning, but that's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see Logan Paul cashing it in at, like, Survivor Series to lose just to fill time and wasting all the momentum that he has. But I'm very intrigued by the Solo thing because I think it could just be a way of gaslighting to get Solo away from Roman. Roy Zhang saying that Bloodline story has less momentum than...
Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Ouch. Oh,
NB18.
Yeah. Coming after all of the sports teams today.
Sports.
Oh, hurtful.
Mm-hmm. Milwaukee, north of Chicago. Mm-hmm. CM Punk.
Chicago, CM Punk. Just words. Mm-hmm. Chicago words.
Just words.
Cardoza, what did you think of our go-home segment
here? I don't know what the hell they're doing. I think Roman's winning tomorrow, so don't be surprised. This is right. Money in the Bank. It's just Money in the Bank. Why would they have Roman losing Money in the Bank?
Well, he's not getting pinned, that's for sure. But correct. Like, Solo might get pinned, but I think the Usos are losing this.
Yeah, the Usos are losing in this. This is going to continue so that you can get that one-on-one because it's just not... it's not right to have it like this in a four-way, right? So you're going to have that one-on-one. Like you said, later on in SummerSlam, you need something big for SummerSlam. It's the biggest party of the summer, from what I hear. So, you know, why not extend the Civil War?
I think you guys are extra sour. I thought this was good.
No, you can't. You can't. Oh, man. No, he's definitely going to win it. You can't. This is Roman's, like, time right now.
It depends. I think if Jay is beating him at SummerSlam, Jay pins him in this. If they drag it out, who knows? But I like the solo wrinkle a lot, because it at least plants that seed of doubt that is so often lacking. That what if, like, solo turns on him?
The story going into their one on one match is Jimmy being kayfabe taken out,
right? Yes,
and Solo walking out on Roman on the go home show.
Yeah,
and Paul Heyman, like, not being there as well, and it's just Jay and it's just Roman. And that's it. One-on-one. We don't have our brothers. That's it. And that's the story. And during that, like, can Roman beat the guy who he started this whole thing against 3 years ago, one-on-one with nobody helping him? Can that, you know, but I don't know if they'll actually do it.
Or, hear me out, or Rikishi comes out, right? And they stink face Paul Heyman and kick him out.
Guys, that's our show for tonight. Thank you so much for watching. Right?
And then it becomes the real bloodline, and Rikishi becomes a new wise man. And everyone's happy. And they just, like, throw egg in the entire crowd's face.
Pulaski, is there anything you would like to sing?
Wow!
For this, you just talk about this pick? Yet? No, I refuse to.
Oh, yeah, that is the main event, yes.
Michael Cole said Dom versus Rhodes is the main event. On a show where you have Seth versus Finn for the title, two Money in the Bank matches, and the Bloodline Civil War, they're going to make Cody versus Dom the main event. If they had a 20-foot neon flashing sign that said Brock Lesnar is here, it would not be more obvious.
I literally tracked, I'm not going to lie to you because I do this as a nerd, I tracked the WWE jet leave a certain location in the United States to go to London. And there's a person that lives in that location. So therefore, that person will be there.
WWE is now advertising a triple main event. Dominic and versus Cody, Bloodline Civil War. I'm assuming the other.
Are they really doing that for real? You're not making that up?
That's what Luis is typing to me right now.
That's right. It seems to me that they're trying to top whatever Tony Khan was doing with a double main event over there.
They do this crap all the time.
No, I know. I was just kidding, guys. God.
Well, I hate it. That's why I say it.
I know.
You can't have a triple main event.
You could. It's a main event. You know, that came down from the man up top who's zooming in.
I hate it. I hate it so much. But I'll give you a quick Rampage rundown.
Ooh.
Since we are on during Rampage now. ROH World title match, you had Claudio versus Commander. That ended in a really fun way. I'm not going to spoil it for y'all. You had Spears and Blade. You had QT and Johnny TV with Matt Hart versus Matt Hardy and Cassidy. You had Ethan Page doing things that I'm not going to say because I don't want to spoil it for you. A segment from Yuta Wheeler and Hikaru Shida and Taya Valkyrie in what was probably a blast of a match, I'm going to assume. But you can catch that rundown on the Collision Post Show now. We've got a lot going on tomorrow, ladies and gents. You've got your Collision Post Show with the wonderful Iridian Cresta star, Ed Ricuccino, who saw on the Dynamite Post Show with Mr. Pulaski this Wednesday. You got me and Alex behind the paywall on Fightful Select with your alternate Money in the Bank Post Show. And you've got your main channel one as well.
Hell of a wrestling weekend, baby. That's what I want to see.
It has not stopped since last Sunday.
Right. Let's keep it going.
My God. Yeah.
Nothing like a good train of wrestling.
Goodness gracious. But guys,
let's just keep
have
it going,
a safe
man.
And wonderful wrestling weekend. Let's hope that it's just a really, really fun pay-per-view tomorrow. I'm hoping for some LA Night. Yeah. Let's push for it. But Cardoza, let's plug your shit.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for letting me talk. Corporate Alex here now. Please follow me on the Instagram at Alexis Cardoza. I'm only 40 away from 10,000. So if you lovely people here that are on the interwebs would like to follow me on there on the Instagram.
Are you showing clavicle?
I will show you a little something. If I get to 10,000, I will.
Bikini pics.
I will gladly show you a little something.
Running naked through the cornfield pictures, that is, people.
That, if, please don't let that happen. So yeah, so you can follow me on there. And then link in bio will take you to every other project I do here in the Northern American hemisphere.
Fantastic. And Pulaski, I don't want you to really plug anything, but is there anything you wanted to sing to the people before you left?
Well, I wanted to say that if you were going to watch the Rampage main event, you should watch it while on a second screen watching my Fightful Select show, where
that.
I did commentary for the main event as Linda. And when they did most of the main event in picture in picture, Linda just reviewed the commercials.
Let's go.
So that was a lot of fun. And I think that's something we're going to be doing from now on, because that turned out to be good. But also I wanted to say, hey, AKA.
Ooh.
I want to know.
Let's go.
You'll be my podcast hosts.
Yeah. Forever. Forever.
Gotta give the applauses to this beautiful AKA team.
That's right. Guys, enjoy your loaded wrestling weekend. Whatever you decide to watch this weekend, enjoy it. We will see you on the next one. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Catch me and Pulaski tomorrow covering your Money in the Bank pay-per-view. We're out of here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.